So, dear brothers and sisters, this liturgical season between the Lord's resurrection and the Lord's ascension, it's 40 days. So, 10 days after that, we'll have Pentecost. But this is a stage, a phase now in the apostles' lives, which is very, very important because things are being set up, things are being set in motion that's going to bring about a huge change in these men who are presently locking themselves in a room for fear of the Jews. So the Lord appears to them, the Lord speaks to them, the Lord works all sorts of miracles, miraculous catches of fish and passing through locked doors into their presence where he greets them with shalom, peace be with you. And these men justifiably, the Lord's apostles, justifiably are fearful because preaching in the Lord's name could cost them their lives, as we're going to see with St. Stephen over the next couple of days. So this is very serious. Like, this is literally a matter of life and death. Following the Lord for them is literally a matter of life and death. So when we think of, you know, often on the back of an altar, back of a church, you'll have all the statues of the various saints or whoever the church is dedicated to, and we might know a snippet of their lives. We get a short version of their story, of their conversion story or of their mission annually when their feast comes around. You think of St. Patrick, you think of shamrocks and snakes, and it all sounds lovely, forgetting that he ministered for best part of 50-something years in Irish weather with no indoor heating or plumbing. It was in constant danger for his life. Spreading the gospel for him was also a matter of life and death. So, following the Lord, I'd love if there was just an easy way of fast-forwarding to the end. And maybe certain saints did manage that, maybe a little Nelly of Holy God. Some saints of particular like purity in that maybe got to that echelon of sanctity a lot quicker than others. But for most of us in our walk with the Lord, I think we often pray for things to change. We pray for conversion, we pray for renewal and revival, and all of this is good. Please continue. But I think the way the Lord guides us, if we look at how he guides the apostles, how he guided the saints, rather than you pray a couple of rosaries and I'll teleport you to the destination, it's you pray, you follow me, I'll give you a roadmap and I'll give you the tools. Right? So I'll give you a roadmap so you know where to go. I'll give you the tools that you need to start a fire, hunt a chicken, whatever else we need to do on the way, you know, so we don't starve. And so we know where to go, what to do, how to maybe build ourselves a bit of shelter. I'll give you the map and the tools rather than just transporting you to the destination. And we'd love to be transported to the destination. It would be absolutely fantastic. I've passed through an airport there recently and, you know, those travelators, I think they're called, isn't it? They're not escalators, they're flat. And you're always trying to walk along beside them thinking, I can go faster than them anyway, you know, with your little wheelie bag and trying to. But I think the Lord can do something like that for us, absolutely. He can transport us a bit more quickly. But it's not an instantaneous thing. It's not like a lift, you know, where you pop in and you end up on a different floor altogether, having done absolutely nothing. You just stand there. I think that the Lord has us walk. But this isn't him being either inept or cruel or harsh or indifferent. It's none of those things. The Lord is teaching us to walk. He's teaching us to be responsible in the faith, to be adults. I mean, he's given us an intellect and a will, and he wants us to use them for his greater glory. He's given us abilities, and he wants us to use them for his greater glory. So all that he has given us, all the gifts that we've been given, are given not just for us, but for those around us. We've meditated on this before. Like, if you have the gift of singing, that's not so you can sit in the room by yourself and just go all Shakira on it. It's so that other people can hear melodious tones emanating from your voice box and maybe be, you know, the way music can, it can calm the soul. It can also kind of agitate you. If you listen to a rebel song, you just want to go punch someone. Or you listen to something calming, and it just brings such peace. Or certain songs that actually can bring you to tears, even though you know the song, you know the lyrics, you know how the song ends, you know it all. But when something is sung really beautifully, it's captivating. That gift isn't just for you. It's for others. If you've got the gift of organization, good, you can have a very organized sock drawer. All your socks, you know, organized according to color, and always with a matching sock. You know, always in pairs. You know, and great, well, good for you. But I get the feeling God has given you that organizational ability for something more than socks. You know, you can organize your household. Your family will benefit from it. Maybe if you're working in a parish, you're working in a business, your organizational ability can help everyone's life by having a more honest business or a more efficient system for paying taxation so you don't get arrested or whatever it is. Your organizational ability is for more than just you. So our faith, the gifts that we've been given, they're not just for us. So we have a roadmap. We know where we're supposed to be going. That's the teaching of the church. So if we're not sure, do we go left, do we go right here? What are we supposed to do here? Well, what does the church teach? What does the church say on this? That's how we know. That's how we know if we go right or left or just keep going straight. Maybe you don't turn off the road at all. You just stay going. We're fine. So what does the church teach? That's how we know what the directions are. And what are the tools? Well, primarily sacraments and then sacramentals. Sacraments, all the sacraments that we need for healing, for vocation, the sacraments of initiation. They're there for our good, for our benefit, to strengthen us, to renew us, to heal us. So we have the map, we have the tools, along with the sacraments, we have sacramentals. So all of the wonderful devotions that are out there, your divine mercies and rosaries and holy water, bronze scapulars, and all those wonderful ways that God uses to transmit grace to us. Absolutely. So why not just lift us to the conclusion, lift us to the destination? Why have us go through all of this? By walking, we learn our need for God. By falling, we learn our need for God's mercy. By the occasional wound, we learn the goodness of our healing God. So the journey is formative. The journey is formative. The journey has a purpose. The purpose of the journey isn't just to get to the conclusion, to get to the destination. The purpose of the journey is to learn who God is, so that when I get there, I'm ready for heaven. There's no point getting to the gates of heaven and then realizing that you're not ready. Or worse, you get to the gates of heaven for your final judgment and you realize, I actually don't want this. You know, I don't want God. He's let me down, or He hasn't been the kind of God to me that I want or that I needed. So no, I don't want you, God. If getting in here requires me forgiving those people who hurt me, never, never. It's better not get to the gates of heaven and not be ready. So the journey can be formative. And sometimes along this journey, we need a good wake-up call, a good bit of a shaking. If you get diagnosed with cancer for the second time, you are very, very aware of your mortality. You are very, very aware, I will not be here forever. So what do I need to do to get out right with my family and to get it right with God? What do I need to do? Because my time is limited. We don't think about that in our 30s and 40s. Maybe, I'm not sure what it'll be like. What's it like in your 50s? Anybody know? Maybe you start thinking about it then. I don't know. Probably, yeah. I mean, in your 60s, definitely, because people start passing away. So it would become a lot more aware of the fact we're not here forever. We're not here forever. So I'm on the last third or the last part of my journey, so I better get a move on. You know, what do I have to learn? What do I have to let go of? Is there baggage that I'm dragging on this route that's slowing me down? Is there something that the Lord wants me to let go of? Past hurts, broken trust, infidelity of people who should have known better towards us. Are there some obstacles that I'm putting in my own way? Do you ever see people going through an airport like, and they're trying to push all their bags in front of them and they're tripping over them and they've got a handbag and they've got all sorts of gear and the bag of duty free and just making them, you know, then the others who travel light, just one little satchel and a wheelie bag and that's it, zipping through the airport. Sometimes we carry way too much baggage and it's slowing us down and it's all useless stuff anyway. It's all Toblerone. From the duty free. Toblerone is not useless. Big fan. But sometimes we pick up all these unnecessary things that we don't need. And they're slowing us down and they're tiring us. And you look in our own hearts and there can be a lot of pain. A lot of pain that the Lord wants to heal, but a lot of pain that we're holding on to. A lot of pain that we don't want to let the Lord near. Because it hurts too much to admit it's there. It hurts too much to let him into it. It hurts too much to heal. So we'd rather have like a broken leg and just like keep the nurse away from it because it might hurt more if the nurse tries to help me. So I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I know it's blue and it's 17 times what it's supposed to be, but I'm grand. I'll walk it off, bit of GAA magic spray on it, and we'll be good to go. All right? Because you're afraid of the healing process. Afraid to let the nurse or the doctor near it. And we can be the very same with our own hearts. Lord, thanks for your grace and all that. You're wonderful. Thanks for the cross. Well done. Just keep away from this part of my heart. Because I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. And that's exactly the part that we should be showing the Lord. Baggage, baggage, baggage. We're dragging it along and it's slowing us down. So we learn then about the Lord's healing power, we realize, I don't need that bag at all. I don't need that. I don't need it anymore. Leave it go. And move on. Lighter. More joyful. Quicker. So the Lord doesn't fast forward this story because the journey is formative. It's a slow process. I'm slow to change. I'm slow to learn. I'm very hard-headed. So the Lord's going to need a bit of time with me. He's got a lot of patience. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, God. But that's what he's doing in this journey. He's forming us. But he provides for everything we need. This isn't like a Bear Grylls kind of thing where he drops us in the middle of a forest or a desert and says, best of luck, we'll see you at the rendezvous point in 2 days or 50, 60 years in our case. And leaves us with nothing to scavenge and survive on berries and snakes. That's not what the Lord does. He gives us the map. We know where we're supposed to go. We have the church teaching. He gives us the tools. We have the sacraments and the sacramentals. We lack nothing. But he asks us to walk. Always knowing that we never walk alone. The Lord deliberately set up a church. He sends them out in twos. He chooses 12 apostles. He doesn't do things with individuals, it's groups. He calls people together to community. He forms a church, which is not only a community, it's his mystical body. That's how united to him we're supposed to be, and to each other. You're supposed to be united to each other as your big toe is to your forehead, indirectly. We're supposed to be united as a family. So, we have everything we need. We have the map, we have the tools. And we're not walking alone. And most importantly, where we walk or as we walk, the Lord walks in front of us. Sometimes, yes, the lights go out and we can't see where he is, but he is there. Where he has gone, we hope to follow. We follow. He has gone there first. So we ask you, Lord, to renew our confidence, renew our hope, and renew our trust. That, Lord, in this sometimes difficult journey of life, that we might always count on the fact and be confident in the fact that you've given us the roadmap You've given us the tools, and you will be with us always until the end of time. Amen. So just to announce that we still have places available for our cherished retreat. It's a ladies' retreat. The theme is Rooted in Christ, and there'll be talks on becoming rooted in Christ, the battle of mind and heart, Our Lady as our guide, being a joyful witness to the Lord. So this faith-filled weekend with other wonderful women of faith will take place here from April 26th to 28th. So if you want to book into that, email us on info@holyfamilymission.ie.